Good evening, this is Rabbi Mayevsky. Tonight's shiur, as all of us are well aware, we dedicate to all our brave soldiers in Eretz Yisrael, and we wish them the best. There's many in my family I know that are serving right now, and they're in harm's way. And we wish everyone hatzlocha, and may they come home and say v'yelamot v'yenu, as we, God promised Shevet Yehuda v'yelamot v'yenu, promising that when he goes out to war, he would come back home. And that's a wonderful thing to be able to have that strength and that emunah, and to know that God is fighting for us, and hopefully that will come true. May he bless us all, and may it come to a swift conclusion. The beginning, Bereshis, is interesting because the Bereshis represents obviously new beginning. And of course, we begin now with, on Simchas Torah, we begin Bereshis, and this Shabbos, we start from Bereshis for Elohim. The first interesting thing is, of course, that the question is asked, why doesn't it say Elohim Bara Bereshis? Because in reality, if you think about it, if I were to build my house and I would say, Shmuel, this is Shmuel's house, or Shmuel built this house, and so it should say Elohim Bara Bereshis, God created the world, Elohim Bara Bereshis, that's the Shemayim V'Yatzar. And that would be the more logical way. But the main lesson of that immediately is that God created the world for us. When I built the house, it was for myself. God did not build the world for himself. He built it for mankind and for the world to continue, and this was his plan. And therefore, it's gracious for all of him, Es HaShemayim V'Yatzar. And the first question we might have in the Mefarshim trying to understand, what in the world is Rokia? I know what I entitled the, we'll get to it in a minute, but the thing that is left out there is, what in the world is Rokia? We translate it as firmament, but what does firmament mean? Because it says, L'havdil bein amayim Hashem me'ala Rokia, bein amayim Hashem me'takas lo Rokia. So what is between the waters in the heavens, and what is between the waters down below? So if we think about it, we only think in terms of the water that's in the clouds and the water that's in the ocean, and that's what is separated. But then what is Rokia? And that would seem to be the air, and which is what most of the Chazal are getting, most of the Rishonim would admit to, that basically Rokia is atmosphere. And there's different levels of atmosphere that we breathe. But the point of this whole thing is that God created everything for a purpose, and to tell us, even though it's beyond our comprehension, because it goes against the grain. If I would turn on the stove and we'll see the steam of the water rise up from the kettle, the steam just sinks back down to the ground and your hand would get wet from the steam. But the steam remains when the water evaporates and goes up to the clouds. It remains there, and that is what it would seem to be, the firmament. But, of course, the heavens are not at that point in time. The heavens are way above that. But it gives the heavens the ability to solidify the water until it reaches a certain point where it melts and comes down as rain or snow. It begins not to say melts, but gets too heavy for the clouds to hold it as you have the dew point. But it's to tell us this is also a miracle in itself. But the wonderful thing that we have to basically think about is what I said is, what was the purpose of God when he created all the animals? He says, Zachor in the cave of Abraham, all the animals of the world, all the birds of the world, every living creature had a male and female counterpart, and that so they could propagate the race. And yet by other Marishon, he only gave him, he only created man and not woman at the same time. Perhaps, obviously in the end he created Chava, and he didn't create Chava, he took Chava from Adam, Ahas Mitzal Osov, he created him from, which is another reason for that as well. And therefore, One might ask, why didn't he create them both? Because obviously he couldn't create just Adam. What would be the necessity to propagate the race? How would it work with just Adam on the earth? He certainly had in mind to create Chava right from the beginning. But there is a lesson. Right before God creates Chava, the Torah tells us that God gave Adam the ability and he gave him the opportunity. He passed all the animals in front of him, Liros, Mayikrolo. He put everything in front of Adam and gave Adam the choice of giving everything a name, calling a lion an Aryeh, calling a bear a dove, or whatever it is. Every animal that has a name that we know by it today, what we know it by today, was given by Adam Arishon. And what was the purpose of God doing that? Of everything that was there for him to see, the fruits, the vegetables, everything that he had there, he gave them the name. What God wants from Adam Arishon, or what he wants from all of us, is to understand the need for everything in the world. And by Adam Arishon looking and examining with obviously the greatest intellect of any man, certainly that would be the closest to Hashem that he had at that time before the sin of the Eitz Hadas, the superior intellect that he had, he was able to ascertain the purpose of everything and give it a name for its purpose on this earth. And therefore, when God knew that he would have to create a woman, eventually he would have to take Adam Arishon and put him to sleep and make the fashion a woman from Adam Arishon, he wanted Adam to understand the necessity to have a woman, to have an Ezer Kenegdo, come to his own conclusion that, why am I here alone? I see all the animals, and they have a zug, they have a pair, and that is what, if the world is all about the propagation of the race, he needed Adam the same way he understood the necessity for each animal and gave him a name for that represents what the animal does, whatever he saw in a lion or a tiger or a bear, whatever he was able to see, that he gave them the names that he did. He wanted Adam Arishon to come to his own conclusion that he needed a wife rather than somebody who was a not to say a counterpart, but somebody that was against him or somebody that would vie for control as he did. He had to understand everything on his own and come to the conclusion on his own that he needed a counterpart for himself, and therefore he said, I don't understand why I am here. And as long as he came to that conclusion, now God put him to sleep. The Tardeimah Naflaw, he put him to sleep. Of course, the joke goes that it never says that he woke up, and that's the joke for mankind. But nevertheless, he put him to sleep, and Achas Mitzalosova, his God Basol Tachtena, he gave him the ability to understand. And now that he reached that point, he realized the full reason for creation. And unfortunately, what happens then is the misinterpretation of too many things. So the sequence of creation is, after Hashem created Adam, he brought everything to, as we said, to what he needed him to understand everything in its time and place. But then why, when he put them, the interesting thing, and says he created man first, and then it says, Vayarecheu b'gan Eden. After he was created, he first put him, where was he in the beginning? I don't know, and nobody seems to understand, but it says, Vayarecheu b'gan Eden, and then he put him in Gan Eden. But if he did not want him to have this great intellect to understand Bein Tov L'Ra, why did he tell him not to eat? But the point is, I can tell you, I could explain to you how an apple tastes. I could explain to you how an orange tastes or how velvet feels. But until you do it yourself, you don't have that understanding. And God wanted man to understand everything in its place. And that's why One of the Mefarshim tell us a very interesting thing. When Bnei Yisrael said Nase v'Nishma, while it's certainly a great thing that we will do it and then we will hear, because before when you do something, then you understand. What God has given us, God wants us to appreciate the Torah in its full capacity of all the 613 mitzvahs. And by giving us the ability to experience all the things in the world that God has to offer, whether it's marriage, whether it's having children and everything, we need to experience all these things on our own before we could appreciate the gifts that God has given to us. Explaining it to you without actually experiencing it firsthand never cuts the mustard. It never works the same way. And unfortunately, Adam Rishon was succumbed to the need to taste from the Eitz Hadas. Adam and Chava fell into that. And therefore, what we're up against is the need for self-control. That is where we falter so many times. We want to experience things. And the only way to understand the greatness of the Torah is to experience the antithesis of the Torah. And unfortunately, we're experiencing that in the world today. When we look around and we see the evil in the world that has befallen us in the past week, that is when we come to the realization that gives us the ability to understand how great the Torah is, that we as a nation have been given a set of values to live by that literally forms our mind, forms our brains and our bodies and our actions. To live by the Torah, day by day, as we live day in and day out, we see every day the greatness of the mitzvot that Hashem has given us, the gift of this, to live a more sane life as opposed to the, call them animals that are roaming the world today. We see the downfall of society around us. God has given us the Torah to continue our way of life. May we serve Hashem with all our capabilities, and regardless of what we see and what we feel, always regardless of what we experience, and we experience things that we sometimes succumb to the light of various things, but the Torah has placed restrictions on it. Li'avda u'lishamra. To experience all the things that God has to offer, but also to watch the things that God has enjoined us from doing. May we have the strength to follow all the precepts of the Torah. May we experience a greater level of peace this year. May it come soon. Thank you and good evening.